We're going to start in Titus chapter 1. And I think we'll start in verse 5. This is Paul talking to Titus. It says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that you are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dispensation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless, a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered." This is verse 7. "Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful words he has been taught, that he might be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Now, many of us here feel a calling to ministry. Now, tell me here, if I can put your hand up, feel a calling to be used of God in type of ministry. And one of the areas that I think I've been ruined in is running down wrong trails. And I think it has helped to form my philosophy of ministry, my philosophy of life, in that I've ran down too many wrong trails, thinking I was going down the right trail. And I followed too many preachers instead of following God, and followed too many preachers' directions instead of following the direction of the Spirit on the inside of me. And see, you can learn real quickly. You don't have to barely be born again and barely begin to pray in tongues when God is going to help you to listen to your spirit and begin to lead you. One of the greatest areas we fail in is being self-willed, in being self-supported, self-preservation. I think the word self here is what I'm trying to get across. Self-directing. You know, bless God, I'm called to preach. I should be preaching. I shouldn't be just going this other direction. But inside of you, your nature will lead you, being led by the Holy Ghost, because His purpose, His goal for you, is to get you to the place where you are walking every day in what you're called to do. See, every person is called. The moment you're born again, you're called that moment. The moment you're born again, your call is activated, because now you're part of the family of God. But to get there, you have to conquer things, such as self-control, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, holding fast the faithful word he has been taught. There's something about good old-fashioned character that we cannot override with spiritual power. How do I say this here? There are spiritual things that you and I can receive from the laying on of hands, from gifts, from grace, from the atmosphere. There are things you can receive, and maybe you've heard some of that, that there's a grace here to help you to do this. There's a grace here for this to help you walk in your calling. There's an anointing here. I'm going to lay hands on you. The fire of God is going to set you free. Maybe you heard a preacher on TV say, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but this is your year. I know this is your year this year. God's going to do something better for you next year. There are things you can receive from God that are spiritual and receive in the operation of a church and the operation of ministry, the operation of the giftings and the laying on of hands. I remember when I was with Pastor Dave back in way back when, and I was just finishing traveling with Brother Norville for about 3 years. And I was running Brother Norville's convention there in Palm Springs, and Pastor Dave was standing by the table. We're standing by the book table and just talking. And he was talking, but I wasn't listening because I felt something fall on me. Like this presence just came over me. And it just fell on me. I didn't know what it was. I was just looking at him, but something was coming over me. See? And it was just peaceful. It was, I could tell it was the anointing. It was strength. I was leaving that conference to go preach a service at a church I'd never been to. The church in Holtville, California. Tiny little Assembly of God church. And they came up to Palm Springs to the conference, and he had invited me to come down to do one service. And so I was going to do that service and then go to Texas, because I was going to do some services in Texas the next weekend, and had a TBN interview. And I went down there on that Sunday after the conference there. And the power of God fell that Sunday morning. That's when the healing gift showed up for the first time in my ministry, really strong. It was just strong. It was easy. I wasn't trying to work people up. I said, who here needs a healing? And a bunch of people stood up, and I just said, be healed. And they were all healed. I'd point at them, they'd fall out. It wasn't like I wasn't trying to do it. I remember we had one guy, he was a larger Mexican friend of mine named Bobby. It wasn't then, I didn't know him, but I'd point at him, he'd fall out and take out three rows of people. So I'd just point, they'd fall out and get healed. I'm talking about cancers, hearts. He put new joints in people. It was amazing, and it was easy. We kept going. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night. We kept going Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I canceled my TBN thing, did Friday, because it was just so amazing. And I left those services thinking, this is it. God's called me. He has launched me into my ministry, Alan Taylor Ministries International. I was all excited. It's time. I'm ready. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is just a taste, what I have for you. But now I want you to lay this down. And I want you to go and keep serving Brother Norville. Basically, he wanted me to mature some more. Now, I knew at the time I had a choice. I could have kept going. Because in the next number of church services that I preached at, that same thing happened. But when I got back home, I had to keep serving Brother Norville. That meant everything but preaching, usually. Because he was more interested in my maturity than he was with me walking in a spiritual gift. I don't know if this is making sense or not. See, we can get ambitious about doing things. Purpose. I've been preaching about purpose a little bit, and how we're not to be purpose driven, but spirit led. But we can pick on the people who are busy serving God and not growing. But let's make no mistake about it. Your soul will also try to fulfill you in the spiritual things. And it'll also try to get you being spiritually growing before you mature. I've been in too many services where people will pray for you to activate the giftings in you. You got a call, you got to go use it. Something about character will cause us to be incorruptible. Let's keep reading here. Verse 10. We talked last week about that subtle pride of being used of God. A subtle pride of, look what God did through me. It's okay to be excited when God does something through us. But there's a subtle pride that allows you to be better than someone else or more important than someone else. And it causes people around us to feel less important. Let's just keep reading here. Verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, even those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Not that Cretans are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons, but this guy actually said that, he means. Therefore, he's telling Titus, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of man, who turn from the truth, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older man be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. Now, in these instructions that Paul has for the church and for the leadership of the church, do you notice that the emphasis here is on spiritual maturity, character, strength? And we know that we can tell someone to be a certain way. You need to love your neighbor. And you love your neighbor till his dog comes over to your yard too many times. And then you don't love him no more. See, this isn't telling you how to be. It's telling you when you get there, then you're qualified. When it's who you are, now you're qualified. When that character is who you are, when you've taken the time and effort to grow and mature and overcome these things, the fruit that comes out is holiness, love, gentleness, kindness. So his instructions here for the church is not so much to pursue the power of God, to pursue the spiritual part of ministry, but to pursue holiness, character, maturity. Because when these things are what we pursue, the other things come with it. But as for you, verse 1, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older man be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. The older woman likewise, that they should be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young man to be sober-minded. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. That's the word I'm looking for. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. Soundness of mind and doctrine. So I loved about Wednesday night. I mean, Wednesday night was a good service. And I like all the services we have. But Wednesday night, because I'm not a teacher like Gary is. But that doesn't mean I don't have to know what Gary knows. Go ahead, ask me some questions right now. I don't have to dig it out. I don't have to be a teacher. I get soundness of doctrine from Gary Carpenter, Dave Roberson. It's in me now. Why? Because the Spirit of God led me to this place. Let me step on some toes here. You know when God led you here? He knew exactly what it would be like when you got here. He knew exactly who would be sitting next to you, who would be teaching, who wouldn't be teaching. He knew exactly who would be doing praise and worship. He knows everything. He sent you here because you need it. And everything about this place, now this church I don't believe is for everybody, but it's for me. Wasn't my choice to come here. Although I wanted to, I didn't come till I knew he told me to. Won't be my choice if I leave. It'll be his choice. So many people are seeking for an answer that comes from maturity. Bless God, I'm called. Why won't God use me? I'm so mad. Because he wants you to grow up. You and I are on a road to grow up. We should call it the Grow Up Center. Leave your pablum at the door. See, your soul will let you serve God, but it won't let you obey God. Because your soul knows that the moment you start obeying Him, it loses its power to lead you. And your soul wants to lead you. And so it'll let you and I get busy in serving people for a purpose-driven type ministry. Purpose-led, that purpose satisfies you, makes you feel like you've done something when really you haven't. Although don't get me wrong, every time you feed a person or love a person or witness to a person, God's right there and God blesses that. But He will never ask you. See, purpose driven means purpose led. That I'm looking for a purpose. That's how I'm finding my life. That's how I decide where I go, what I do. I look for it where there's a void, and I go fill it. I feel good. And God rewards that, I'm sure, but He will never lead you to a life where you don't grow and mature. But your soul will also lead you down a path of spiritualism that allows you to float. I remember one pastor. It's a true story. And see, I used to be intimidated by spiritualisms. Because I thought maybe I'm just not spiritual enough. And this guy, I knew him as a friend. Not as a friend, but I knew him on a man level, not on a like a business preaching level. And he pastored for a while, and all of a sudden he started acting weird. At the restaurant, him and his church would come in, and they'd all come in first and get his table ready, and he'd come in and float. And the problem I had was that always made me feel like maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm not spiritual enough. And it intimidated me. See. Until character flaws destroyed his ministry. Do you know how many preachers are destroyed every year? Because of character flaws. How many preachers lose their voice? Can you imagine? Living your whole life in ministry as a preacher, being 60 years old, and falling at 60 years old, being exposed at 60. 60 is when you know more about God than you ever have. 60 is when you're supposed to start enjoying life, like really enjoying life. And now, because of a character flaw, all the good you have is disqualified. How many preachers can I name you who are now in selling insurance, selling investments, working jobs they hate? Because the first 60 years of their life, they didn't deal with the things in them. I cannot tell you what you should do. But my message today is free you up to make sure that you're being led by your spirit, even if it's to a place that does not seem productive to your soul. Because what's being produced in you may not feed your soul and make you feel like you're being purposeful. But the maturity that's being produced in you, that I only do what God tells me to do. I only go where God tells me to go. I'm not in charge of my life. I'm not led by needs or circumstances. This is the walk that God has for us. I don't get to decide where I live. I don't get to decide, or my wife doesn't get to decide where we live. My mom and dad don't get to decide where we live. I'd be living next door or in the house of my mother if I listened to her. I told her I was going down to Cleveland, Tennessee almost 20 years ago. I said, I want to go for 1 year to go to Bible college. Then I'll come home, Mama. And every year she gets on. You told me 1 year. It's almost 20 years now. One time I got a phone call. She said, Alan. Yes, Mama. I had a dream and God spoke to me. Really? Yes. He said to tell you, you're supposed to move home. I said, well, I will, Mama, as soon as he tells me that. You'll hear preachers tell you, God gave me a vision. I'm supposed to go build this thing for God. So now I'm believing in the money for it. That's okay. But see, there's a difference when you can see where you're going, but it's not up to you to get there. He will get you there. He will get you there. God told me I'm supposed to, I'm believing God for $10,000 today in this offering. So I'm believing God. God said there's 10 of you going to give 800, and 10 of you going to give 200. Now, which ones are you? There's a liberty in life. Listen, there's a liberty in this walk when you let go of the reins. When you're free to wake up in the morning and become who you're supposed to be. There's a liberty, listen, but there's also a responsibility. See, when I pray and my prayers aren't answered, I can't just get busy now and fix it. I have to go to the root of the problem. It's me. See, you can cast out demons, but you can't cast out flesh. See, the problems we have in our soul, they're not God's problems. They're our problems. That's why we have to conquer them. I have full confidence that I'm going to fulfill what God's called me to do. Now, I won't say that I'm going to fulfill everything, because I have made decisions that cost me years. I don't know how old Paul was when he started, but he killed people before he got started. So I can't be that far behind. And he finished his race. But see, there's a peace when you wake up in the morning and you know it's okay, that your spirit has led you to a place in your life where you lose your selfish ambition. See? And you're being led by your spirit, no matter where it takes you. And let's just go here real quick. You know how excited you were when you first kissed your spouse, or your first boyfriend, you know, your girlfriend, you're walking along when you're a kid and your hands touch. It's like, whoo, wow, I touched hands. Oh my goodness. And then your first kiss, how big it was. Then after you're married for 40 years, you know, walk out the door, love you, love you. That's the way life works, you know. That's the same thing with ministry. You can ask some preacher who's been around a long time, all excited, and I get to travel and preach. Hallelujah. But after your 1,000th service, prayed for your 1,000,000th person, you know, it's work. That's what it is. So some of the things that may be motivating us to think, if I can just get that, then I'll feel fulfilled. If I can just get that, then I'll be satisfied. That idea that you're not good enough now, and maybe one day when I arrive to some spiritual place, then I'll be satisfied. The problem with that, when you arrive to a certain level, after a while it becomes boring too. It's not so exciting. How about we get satisfied with where we are right now? And then you can enjoy where you are. You can enjoy the successes that you have. You can enjoy what you have in your life instead of looking at what you're missing. Enjoy the growth that's happened to you. And have confidence that if I just keep following the leading of my spirit, I have confidence He's going to get me to where I'm called to be. And one day He'll release me. Not because I'm special or I'm perfect or because I've done enough, but because I grew up and he gave me the keys to the car and said, okay, son, now you can drive. There's a peace that I get to wake up in that I haven't had for most of my life. Pastor Dave says that the cross, the road to the cross, or the path to the cross, is as final as the cross itself. What you and I need isn't coming through a laying on of hands or an activation by a man of God or a gifting that falls from heaven. It comes from in here. We're becoming children of God. Holy, pure, love, character, power, all of it. And on the way to where we're going, God will use you every step of the way. Every day He'll use you. But don't run off being purpose driven. As you grow up, you don't need to do anything. You just have to have confidence where He put you. I can walk through a crowd of sinners and not be tempted one time to share the gospel with them. Oh boy. I'll say it again, in case you didn't hear that right. I can walk through a crowd of sinners and not be tempted one time to share the gospel with them. Boy, that was good. Yeah, that like hit a wall right there. I like busting walls down. See, I'm nitpicking at some things that are purpose driven. Why? Unless He tells me, unless I feel that unction, it's not my job. I can have fun with my sisters, the ones who are not born again yet, and not talk about Jesus. I saw a plaque on the wall somewhere that said, now to say it. Share the gospel to the whole world. And if necessary, only if necessary, use words. I can walk by a poor person and not feed them. In fact, I've had poor people God has told me not to feed. Why? Because we can live a life of being led by the Spirit. Do you understand the pressure that sits on your shoulders when you have to get so busy for the gospel? I used to be burdened by church people. If I don't spend enough time with you, then you may not make it. So I got to spend time with you. And there's people who will suck all your time if you let them. Let me make it clear to you. See, my wife brings her kids to the second service. And I love my family. I have committed to pouring so much time every day to my children and to my wife. So Sunday after service, I haven't seen my son all day. I left before he woke up this morning. Haven't seen him all day. We'll sit in church, but mostly we don't get to, you know, other than Harrison Stop. That's what all the... So So Sunday after service, now don't get, I stay as long as I want to, but I used to let 15 people take my time because I was scared they were going to not make it if they didn't get a part of me. And I've got, what if I got a little boy sitting home waiting for his daddy? And you expect me to take time for you? Purpose driven, I would. I'd sacrifice my son's time. See, I got free from church people. Yeah. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that one. Thank you. You should be free from the burden that a purpose-driven doctrine has corrupted you with, because it's robbing the very life out of you. See, why can I walk by a bunch of sinners? Because I believe in the body of Christ. I believe in the body of Christ that there's many parts to the body. And my job is to be a part, but not someone else's part. My job is to be great at my part and to leave the other stuff to someone else to be great at. We have too many multitasking people. Unless you're behind the pulpit, you're not called. So we end up with businessmen. We end up with Minister of Helps guys. We end up with governments. We end up with all kinds of people trying to preach when they shouldn't be preachers. Just because they don't feel like they're, unless they're doing it, they're not called. I believe in the power of prayer, that I can pray for my family and that He is a powerful God and that they're going to get to heaven. I don't have to harass them. I believe in the expression of love, the power of the expression of love, that if I show love to a person, that's more powerful than my words. If I show character, that's more powerful than what I say. Let's be great at what we're called to do. Let's be great at character and love. Let's be great at those things. Let the other guy worry about his job. And if God tells you to do something, do it. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing things that don't cost you your time. For instance, if I'm walking across the floor, going to my seat, and there's a piece of trash on the floor. Hold on, I got to pray. Father, do you want me to pick this trash up or not? Give me a word, God. Give me a word. When you find out how small of importance, how do I say this very carefully? When I found out how small of importance a church service really was, compared to my time of praying and maturing, then I was okay to be involved with the church service, such as ushering or helping out if I've wanted to. See, there's things you don't necessarily have to get a word on. When I found out, let me put it this way, when I got free from thinking that the anointing in the service sorry, I'm trying to be very careful here. When I found out how small of a role the actual service plays in my spiritual maturity, I was liberated. Not to not attend church. I attend church not just for the word. I attend church for you. I attend church for the encouragement. I don't miss church. That's part of my commitment. But you know, you can be involved with things too. During conference time, it's okay to be involved with things. Well, that's enough of that. Maybe one day I'll preach that really good. It's who you are. See? It's who you are. So we're free. When I'm on the airplane, I sleep. I don't witness. I used to be driven. I'd have all my lines ready. How to strike up a conversation. How are you doing? Good. What church you go to? Oh, you don't. Well, what would you do if this plane crashed? Would you go to heaven or hell? Heaven, really? Why? A good person? No. No, you need to get saved. At the best of our crusades that we have, the best, probably Billy Graham, the best of our crusades, the best, say best. This is a statistic. Out of all the people who make a commitment to get born again at a crusade, I believe it's 2%, but it might be 4% of those people stay in church. That's the best. In Tulsa, with all the mega churches we have, there's probably only 10% of Tulsa that goes to church. That's not revival. 4%. I can make you and talk you and convince you to say the Lord's Prayer. But it doesn't tell us just to make little babies. It tells us to disciple them as well. Sometimes we harvest people too soon because we're afraid they won't get harvested. But when you're free, you can learn to harvest at the right time. When He tells you to. I was on one plane trip and this lady was sitting next to me and there's another guy and I fell asleep. And I could hear her talk the whole time to this other guy. She talked and talked, and I was really tired, so I fell asleep. I woke up and wiped the slobber off my chin, and I could tell she looked and saw I was awake and said, "Oh." And the other guy was relieved. He's like, "Okay." So she started talking to me. "Where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from live in Tennessee." "Well, what do you do? Why are you tired? You slept a long time. You must be tired." Okay. See, to me, witnessing isn't attack. For me, witnessing is fishing. See, now some people, they're evangelists. They're good at it. Let them go attack. That's their job. But I'm not a multitasker. I'm just good at what I do. And I'm going to be great at what I do. See. So what do you do? I said, "Well, I'm tired because I've been running around doing healing crusades all over the country. Been a long summer." "Oh, that's nice. I'm going to go visit my grandparents or my daughter. And then I'm going to have back surgery because my back has been really bad." And then she went on and she talked. Now, she knew who I was. I didn't have to tell her anything else. She knew exactly what I had to offer. And she wasn't interested in it. Everything in me at the time wanted to say, "What happens if this plane crashes right now?" But when you're free from the fear, See, some people are ready to be harvested. Some people aren't. Some people need to be watered and seeded. Sometimes we clip these plants too soon just out of fear. So she talked for a long time. And I just listened to her. I didn't have a choice. And then as we were landing, she said, "Will you pray for my back? I've had a real problem with my back and I have that surgery coming up. Will you pray for that back?" Now that was after she left who I was and she came back to it. I'm a good fisherman. I said, "I'll pray for you right now." Well, she didn't mean right now, but she was on the hook. Why let her off? And I'm not a bold person who is comfortable standing in front of a bunch of people and getting their attention. But there was grace and peace, and it was all there. It was ripe. She was ripe for the harvest. See? So I prayed for her. She got healed. We had one time when we were in Tennessee, a bunch of us guys would go for breakfast every Saturday morning to this really greasy called Cameron's. And a bunch of us guys, about eight of us, would go every... I mean, they'd have a buffet with fried chopped up potatoes and sausage gravy, a pile of bacon about a foot high, and sausage, and the best biscuits. You don't know how to make biscuits unless you live in the South. The best biscuits. And you take your biscuit and you'd break it up and you put your potatoes on it and you'd cover it with gravy. And about eight of us or so would go every Saturday morning. Finally, we decided, let's pick a waitress. So we go in there and we picked one woman to be our waitress. And during tip time, you know, don't share Christ unless you give a good tip. And during tip time, we would, like we're gamblers, say, "Well, I give a dollar." Someone said, "Well, I give two." "Well, I see your two and I raise it to three." And that little girl would get a huge tip. And none of us had a lot of money, but we started to have fun with it. We'd walk into the restaurant every Saturday and waitress would run to us. I've got a seat right over here. I've got a seat right over here. And I say, "Well, sorry, we're waiting for our waitress." "Well, that's not fair." "Doesn't matter. We have our waitress, you know." And she would put us down, give us a royal treatment. And then after a few weeks, she gave me her phone number. Now don't get offended. Because she said, "Listen, me and my husband are having problems. And I know you're a minister at the church. Would we be able to meet with you? Because we need prayer." See, that stuff's fun. It doesn't cost you your prayer time. Doesn't cost you your maturity time. When I'm talking about being purpose driven, I'm trying to set myself free from the necessity to do something, to feel like I've done something, and not being led by my spirit man. See? And when I got free, free from feeling unqualified until I reach the top, I get to wake up every morning at peace. And I'm available for whatever God wants me to do. But if He doesn't tell me to witness when I'm in a crowd of sinners, I don't. It's not my job. He didn't tell me to do it. He may tell you to do it, but He didn't tell me to do it. This walk, we cannot bypass. For Alan Taylor to fulfill what God's told him to do, I cannot bypass maturity. And I can't trade it in for purpose or spirituality. Don't ever feel like you're not spiritual enough. I've seen multitude of services where we've run around the building, where we're all excited. God's going to use me. The next morning I wake up with myself. You know why drunks get drunk, don't you? Forget about the problems. I had a revival that started. It ended up being one of the longest running revivals in Kentucky history. Went on for 2 years. I got to do the first month. And then Norval made me come back to work. But my last service there, because I kept feeling a pull towards the services, were like people would come, and they were coming from different states, and the presence and power was there, and there was just, it was just easy flowing. But the people kept pulling towards, let's just get drunk. You know what that means? Let's get drunk in the Spirit. Let's just get soaked. Let's just get touched by God. And this, a word came through me that said, do you know why a drunk gets drunk? So he can forget about his problems. But when he wakes up the next morning, his problems are still there. It's okay to enjoy services that allow us to forget about our problems. But we're not to pursue those. They're not a long-term answer for anything. They're a good touch, but that's not revival. What if you get to wake up every morning and just know that I'm on a path, and all I have to do today is to keep my disciplines, spend my prayer time, do my worship, my word. That's my real fight. Spend time with my family. Do my job if you got a job, that kind of thing. And then do it tomorrow. And if I just do that every day, guess where I'm going? I'm going to end up doing what I'm called to do. Pastor Dave thinks I'm a great counselor. He keeps sending people to me. But I'm really not a great counselor. But I'm really good at finding disorder. So when I talk to you, someone comes and says, I want this in my life. I want a good marriage. Okay. I'll talk to them for a few minutes and find the disorders in their life. Well, you know, you're not going to have a good marriage if you spend all your time with your buddies. You know, you're not going to have a good marriage if you do this and do that. No, but I want a good marriage. Yeah, but you got to fix the disorders. And what a purpose-driven or a spiritual-driven life does is it allows us to attempt to grow in God while not dealing with the disorders in our life. And what do you think causes men to fall? The disorders that aren't dealt with. And so in maturity, as we walk, you're going to have to deal with those things. You are going to have to deal with yourself. The insecurities, the weaknesses. But here's the best part. This is why I wake up every morning at peace. I wake up, brush my teeth, and I'm in peace. Why? Because I don't get to pick. I don't even have to pick which weakness I deal with that day. I know that I'm at peace with God because I'm on this path that's going to get me to the place where I want to go. So I don't even have to pick which dysfunction I'm going to conquer today. That's not even my worry. All I have to do pray in tongues, meditate the word. That's what I fight for. Make myself get in that closet. Confess the word. Do these things that we know to do. Why? Because how do you move a mountain? One shovel at a time. And if I just do those things, I don't have to worry about my dysfunctions. Because as I pray, as I do things that we know, fast and worship, they'll rise up to the top. And then I get to kill them off. I don't have to figure it out. I just have to do those things. I look back even 5 years from today. And I'm not even close to the man that I'm so much different than I was 5 years ago. Thank God I go to this church. Thank God. I say it all the time. I'm so thankful for leadership that won't harness me. Because I was so purpose driven. Harnessing was a way out of dealing with myself. Tim, Gary, Pastor Dave, harness me. Go pray. I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray. My soul didn't want to pray. Because it knew it would lose its power over me. We're on a good path. Be at peace. Wake up in the morning. Be at peace. If you're supposed to do something, he'll tell you to do it. You feel that unction, then you do it. All right, I better stop. See you in 30 minutes.